It's time to drop the puck on the Sports Trivia Face-Off. That's right, you have downloaded an episode of the Sports Trivia Face-Off, but today we are the Sports Trivia Tip-Off. We'll explain why in a minute. I am here with my co-host, Aaron. Aaron, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I am fine. We are here with our basketball-themed episode. The whole episode will be about basketball today. We've reformatted the game into quarters and a halftime instead of periods and intermissions. And we have two expert basketball players today, Jeremy and Matt. Let's introduce them now. Jeremy, let's start with you. How are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine. Thanks for having me on.
And what have you been up to since the last time you were on the podcast?
Quite a bit. I run my trivia company here in Chicago, Brain Bash Trivia. I do a lot of special events. I've done a bridal shower, a baby shower, a bat mitzvah. And then I also found time to go out to Vegas and film an episode of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which has yet to air, so I can't tell you how I did, but should come on sometime in the next 2 months. So a lot going on trivia-wise, and it's been a fun year.
It sounds like it's been a very busy 2018 for you.
Yeah.
Matt, you are Matt from Triviality. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you, Brent?
I am well. Tell us what you've been up to since your last appearance on the podcast. I know you've been podcasting.
Yeah, I did a little podcasting on the side. I also played Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I bought three of those tickets. I did not win, so I have to stay at my job, and that's where I'm at.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
I believe that was called Who Wants to Be a Billionaire?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Higher stakes.
Yeah. I also did not win.
And here is a hockey version of how we play the game. Here are the rules for the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Each player will get a chance to answer five questions in a category they choose. If they answer correctly, they get 10 points. If not, their opponent can answer on the rebound for 5 points. Twice per game, a player may challenge his opponent to answer a question first for 10 points, but the opponent can answer correctly for 15 points. Two intermission questions are worth up to 20 points, and we will explain the shootout once we get there. Now that we know how to play the game, we are going to figure out which contestant is going to play first. Jeremy, you did your intro first, so I'm going to let Matt call the coin first. And Matt, I'm going to let you pick between heads or tails.
Let's go. Tails never fails.
Tails never fails. Hey, Google, flip a coin.
All right. You got heads.
It is heads. Google has failed you. Jeremy gets to pick first in the first quarter.
Apparently, tails does fails.
Yeah, my whole life is a lie.
That continues to be the coolest part of my week, I think, is listening to your robot flip a coin. It's been a boring week.
You
is that actually a robot and not Aaron?
Yes.
Aaron.
Are you saying that my robot sounds like Aaron?
I saw a little bit. No.
It's uncanny. Yeah.
Jeremy gets to select first with our three categories on the map. Aaron Spelling would love this category, or it feels like the first time. And a reminder, the fourth question in each category is the three-pointer.
Oh, boy. So of those three categories, Aaron Spelling would love that category. I mean, I know my Aaron Spelling shows. I know a lot about TV. But I'm afraid that maybe you're making it a spelling category, and I'm going to have to spell somebody's name, and I would be awful at that. So on the off chance that that is the case, I'm not picking that, which means I'm on the map or feels like the first time. Well, I do appreciate the feels like the first time reference to the song. I think I'm going to go with on the map because I think that would probably fit my strengths better.
And by the way, we should take a time out to thank Phil Sanford. He has written all of the questions for this basketball episode, and they are fantastic questions. Whether Matt and Jeremy think they're fantastic questions, we'll ask at the end of the game. And so thank you very much, Phil. We appreciate your help.
Thank you, Phil, because Lord knows Brent and I could not have done this.
That's an absolute truth. On the map, this is basketball geography with the help from Rand McNally and Google Maps. Number one, Lynette Woodard, the first ever female member of the Harlem Globetrotters, was a founding member of what defunct WNBA team? This franchise lasted 7 seasons, and it was named for a lakeside tourist attraction a couple blocks down the road.
It's named for a lakeside tourist attraction. That tells me Great Lakes area. Because I'm assuming it's not the Utah. I don't remember what the Utah team was, but. And you said it's a defunct team, right? Not like a relocated team.
That's correct.
Okay. So the Utah team, I think, is now the Vegas team, because I think they moved from Utah. So it can't be the Salt Lake. Okay. So we're looking Great Lakes area, which means the Detroit Shock relocated to, I think, Oklahoma City. And I don't know what landmark would be in Detroit. There's Cleveland, and I need the team name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was it the Cleveland Rock or the Cleveland Rockers? Cleveland Rockers. They were named for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We'll go with that.
Cleveland Rockers is correct for 2 points.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well done.
Good poll.
I've been sitting here trying to Google what lakeside attraction gave them their name, and I should have just waited for you to remember it.
Well,
Google was
not. I mean, it's just a matter of, okay, what are major cities by lakes, right? You got Salt Lake City, you got Detroit, you got the mistake by the lake, which is Cleveland. And it's funny because all three of those have had WNBA teams that have relocated. Or actually, no.
Utah was the Stars. That's the one I could remember, but that's okay. Not based on anything.
So. Well, yeah, they were the Stars, and then they moved to San Antonio and became the Silver Stars, and I think that is the team that is now the Las Vegas Aces, or the Vegas Aces, whatever. And I think the Detroit Shock became...
Or they were the Tulsa Shock.
Well, they became the Tulsa Shock after Detroit. They started in Detroit and moved to Tulsa, and I think they're still around, although I'm not 100% sure.
Number two. In the 2017-2018 season, what NBA team just beat out division rival the Portland Trail Blazers for the most miles traveled in the season?
What? All right. I don't even know, like, who keeps track of this kind of stuff?
There's a stat for everything.
Yeah, yep. But I don't know. This is so, all right. So we're looking Northwest Division teams. So let's narrow down our choices, because there's only 4 possibilities. So you have the Nuggets, the Timberwolves, the Thunder, and the Jazz. So it has to be one of those 4. It's not Portland. Which one of those is the most? I mean, Utah is going to go to Denver and going to Portland. Those are not long trips. Oklahoma. I mean, like, the most isolated of those teams is the Timberwolves. And the Timberwolves are in the Western Conference, which means they're going to play teams like the Lakers and stuff. They're only going to go to places like New York and Florida once. And they're going to go to Phoenix and LA. I mean, I'm going to go with Minnesota because I have no – yeah, Minnesota Timberwolves.
Minnesota Timberwolves is correct for another 2 points.
Wow.
All right.
Number 3. The first round of the 2006 NCAA men's basketball tournament featured Northwestern State making a furious comeback against Iowa, with the winning 3-pointer being scored with less than a second left in the game. In what state would you find Northwestern State?
That's one of those where, like, if I wasn't from Chicago, I might say Chicago because that's where Northwestern is from. But we all know that that is not correct. So there's Northeastern is in Massachusetts. Northwestern State makes no sense. What is the Is there a challenge part where I get to say, hey, Matt, you don't know this. Why don't you answer?
Yes, there are two challenges per game.
And is this the 3-point question?
No.
Okay. Well, Matt, you know what? Why don't you tell us where Northwestern State is? Because I can eliminate two out of the 50 states for you. It's not in Massachusetts and it's not in Illinois. You get to pick from the other 48.
All right. This one, oddly enough, in a basketball game, I know mostly through college football, they play, I forget which conferences, but it's a lot of smaller schools in the mostly Texas, that kind of area. But I believe they're from Louisiana.
Louisiana is correct for a 3-point refuted challenge.
Nice,
man. Damn you, Matt.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to miss that, so it didn't matter.
It's kind of like how we always joke that South Bend is in the very northern part of Indiana.
There you go.
Number four, the ABL launched about 6 months before the WNBA and featured better players and a better salary structure. But without the corporate backing the WNBA had, thanks to the NBA, the ABL folded after 2 seasons. A team nicknamed the Quest won both ABL titles while playing in Battelle Hall at this city's convention center. In what city, best known for college football, did this tribe called Quest play?
I try to remember if they beat the Chicago Condors, which was the Chicago team in the ABL in one of those. That is the Columbus Quest.
Columbus is correct for a 3-pointer. Well done.
It is shocking that I know more about women's professional basketball than I do apparently about minor NCAA basketball schools. So.
Aha.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's right. Matt, we are to you. You have a choice between Aaron Spelling would love this category or It Feels Like the First Time.
Well, I too want nothing to do with Spelling, so I'm going to go with Feels Like the First Time.
Feels Like the First Time. These are about historic basketball firsts. Number one, the WNBA tipped off its first game ever between the New York Liberty and the Los Angeles Sparks. What two legends of women's basketball faced off in that opening tip?
It was the Liberty and the Sparks, right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe the New York was Rebecca Lobo and the Sparks... That's too early for Candace Parker. But I can't remember who it is, so I'm just going to say Candace Parker.
Do I get a rebound?
Rebecca Lobo and Candace Parker is incorrect. Jeremy, for 1 point, can you pick up the rebound?
I can, I believe. Lisa Leslie was the Los Angeles Sparks. So Lisa Leslie and Rebecca Lobo would be the two.
That is correct for 1 point.
Again, I know my women's professional basketball.
Very heavy on the ladies today.
Yeah, you know what? That's fine. I actually know that stuff. Like, other people won't like it, but whatever.
We're just learning a lot. That's important.
Yeah.
Number two, the first ever NBA game was played in what city? Note that this was officially under the league name BAA, but it is recognized by the NBA as the league's first ever game.
So I remember this from a question that we answered on the show and somebody yelled at us that it was wrong. I believe the first game was actually in Toronto because I think it was in Canada. I'm going to say Toronto.
Toronto's correct for 2 points.
Yeah, I think they said that the basketball was created in Canada or something like that, and we got a bunch of emails. So
yes.
So that sticks in my mind.
Getting yelled at's a great way to retain information.
To be wrong.
Yeah. Have about 40 people email and say, listen, yeah. Stupid. Yep. Yeah. Number three, what astronomical and now defunct franchise won the first four WNBA championships?
There we go. This is, I think these are the Cheryl Swoops teams of the Houston Comets.
Darn it.
Houston Comets is correct for two more points. And number four, in 2018, what Nashville-based school was the only one to make its first appearance in the NCAA men's basketball tournament? And this is the three-pointer.
I'm going to challenge on that one.
Jeremy, you've been challenged.
All right. So we're looking 2018, and so that's this year. And we're looking at Nashville schools, of which I don't know. Oh, God. What if I challenge back? Am I not allowed to do that? Or like, is that?
That would be a technical foul.
Double dog, dare you. Double dog.
God. All right. What are Tennessee? So I have no idea if they were in the tournament this year, but here's a fun trivia fact. There are only two NCAA basketball schools who play in cities whose names end in the letter B as in boy. One of them is Northern Illinois University, who plays in DeKalb. The other is Western Illinois University, who plays in Macomb. I have asked that question numerous times. The most common wrong answer I get is a school called Lipscomb, which plays in Nashville. So I know that Lipscomb is in Nashville, and that will be my answer.
Lipscomb University is correct for a three-point refuted challenge.
All right.
I have to admit that I'm a little disappointed in Phil, because after Lipscomb University, I was going to say that I must ask you another question.
Well, you know what? I'm really glad you didn't say that, because that would have been just awful.
I think Aaron just resigned.
You know what? And I support that resignation. No.
And that is the end of the first quarter. Jeremy leads 11-7 over Matt. Mm. Not a very big lead. And for the second quarter, we will turn it over to Aaron.
All right, gentlemen, your categories for the second quarter are basketball goes to Hollywood, these jeans fit well, and the bird is the word. Matt, it is your pick.
I'm going to Hollywood.
All right. These are predictably basketball on the big and small screen.
All right.
Number one. In the movie Celtic Pride, the star player, Lewis Scott, played by Damon Wayans, played basketball at what East Coast University that was once the NCAA runner-up?
Oh, man. I haven't seen that movie in a long time. I know Dan Aykroyd's in it. Does that count?
Nope.
No? Okay.
good try, though.
East Coast school, one-time runner-up. I'm going to go with St. John's.
St. John's is incorrect. Jeremy, do you know?
No, I have no idea. East Coast school, NCAA runner-up. So I'm assuming if they were once the NCAA runner-up, they were not the NCAA champion. So what team has famously not won a title but has been, like, close? Georgetown won in the 80s, right? So that's not them. You said St. John's, right? Yeah. Villanova's won. NC State has won. North Carolina's won, Duke has won, Wake Forest has never won. I mean, the school is set in Boston. UMass made the Final Four with Marcus Camby, but they weren't ever runner up. I think they lost in the Final Four.
Yeah. Calipari.
Yeah. And what's his name took, not Calipari, but the other douchey coach took Providence to the Final Four, but not the final. What? Why can I not remember his name from Kentucky and Louisville and the dummy that got fired? And it doesn't matter. It's not that school anyway. I'm going to go with Wake Forest.
Wake Forest is also incorrect. The answer, and this is, again, Phil Stanford wrote these questions. The answer is Seton Hall University.
Oh, you know what? They did pretty, it was pretty famous. That was like 1989 or something like that, or 90. I don't know. It was like, was that when Michigan won with Glenn Rice? Did they beat Seton Hall?
That sounds right. Know. Yeah.
I think that sounds about right.
I think that's 89 then, because Rice was drafted in 90.
I think that's right. I think it's 19. I think that's the year they, you know, yeah. I wasn't even thinking of them.
No. Nope.
I needed something to reference Pirates in there, and I might have gotten it.
It was 1989, and Michigan did win.
Yeah.
I also, while y'all were talking, Googled Celtic Pride just to make sure there weren't any Druids in there for some reason that would have made my pronunciation. There were not. It was about the basketball team. Number two. Duke's Thomas Hill, Purdue's Matt Painter, Tennessee's Allen Houston, Kansas's Adonis Jordan, and Wake Forest's Rodney Rogers were all teammates for what reason?
We're all teammates for what reason? And this is like in a movie or TV? Is that, I don't
know. Your category right. is basketball on the big and small screen.
Maybe I'll say that they were all blue chippers. It was, they're in blue chips.
That is correct, Brent. Judgment call on this? Yeah.
That's good enough for me.
All right.
I like it. yay, points. The answer I have is they all played for the same opponent in the movie Blue Chips, but you said Blue Chips.
Yeah. And they had a bunch of like amateur at the time athletes in it, so I figured that's probably where that was.
Yeah.
Also featured a lot of coaches. Mm-hmm. Bob Knight, Rick Pitino, Jerry Tarkanian, Dick Vitale was in it, Jim Boeheim was in it.
If that was wrong, I was going to guess that they were maybe just somehow seen in Space Jam, but, you know.
Number three. The cinematic masterpiece, Juana Man, featured two, again, I did not write these questions, featured two fictional franchises, The Beat from the UBA and The Banshees from the WUBA. It was set in and filmed in what city? At the time of filming, the city had both an NBA and WNBA franchise, but would lose both franchises soon after filming, maybe or maybe not because of a curse from such an awful movie.
I'm guessing this is like an early 2000s movie, and I'm guessing this is when the Hornets moved to New Orleans. So I'm going to guess Charlotte.
Charlotte is a good guess.
That is a fine guess, yeah.
And number four, your three-point question. In the fourth season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, Larry David and Richard Lewis attempt to measure themselves up against what former NBA player by peeking at him while using the bathroom. When the NBA player catches them in the act, Larry fakes a heart attack in order to not get beat up.
Oh, man. And this is a famous scene that I've heard a lot about, and I've never seen. So I'm not sure. I know that there's a famous scene with Shaq in it, and I would measure anything against Shaq, but I'm going to say Shaq.
Shaq is incorrect. Jeremy, do you know?
I was going to say Shaq. So, let's see. Read the question again for me.
In the fourth season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, Larry David and Richard Lewis attempt to measure themselves up against what former NBA player by peeking at him while using the bathroom. When the NBA player catches them in the act, Larry fakes a heart attack in order to not get beat up.
I'm going to go with John Sally, only because I know he's really funny, and he would be a really good person to be on a show like that.
All right, well, that is also incorrect. I cannot speak to this player's sense of humor, but the answer is Muggsy Bogues.
Oh, he's a little guy.
Yeah, well, yeah. You would think they'd measure up well against Mike now. No.
They're about the same height, so.
Yeah.
I can't say that I've given it much thought, to be honest.
Me neither. All right, moving on. Jeremy, your categories to choose from are These Jeans Fit Well and The Bird is the Word.
Well, I am a Cardinals fan, and I'm going to have to go with the bird is the word.
Okay. This is famous bird people. Bird is in quotes.
Number okay.
One. We're gonna find out what that means together. Number one, Larry Bird led Indiana State to a runner-up finish in the 1979 NCAA championship. What is Indiana State's nickname?
Oh, I know this one.
The Sycamores.
Yeah. Jimmy knows it too.
Yeah, the Sycamores.
Correct. Two. Within one, how many NCAA championships, WNBA championships, and gold medals combined has Sue Bird won?
Whoa. All right. Sue Bird's been around for a while. She's played in at least three Olympic Games. And she's won at least two WNBA championships. Damn it. So three Olympic, and then you said college too, right? And she went to UConn, so she has to have won multiple college, like at least two college. So we have two college, two WNBA, three Olympic. That is seven. Let's assume maybe I'm off one, so make it eight. I'm gonna go with eight. You said what's my leeway here?
One either way.
All right, I'm gonna go with eight.
Yeah.
Okay, she has two NCAA championships, three WNBA championships, and four gold medals for a total of nine. But you were within the one.
All right. I didn't realize she'd been to four Olympic Games. All right. I knew she'd been around forever. So, yeah.
Very well done.
It's a long career, yeah.
Again, great. I have some WNBA knowledge.
Great.
Well, I think we know what the title of this episode will be.
Number three. After finishing her basketball career, Kate Starbird earned her PhD and is now an engineering professor at the University of Washington. Starbird won the Naismith Player of the Year award playing for what West Coast University?
I have no idea. I'm just going to guess Stanford.
Well, that's the correct answer. That was a good guess.
I mean, they're the most prominent West Coast university for women's basketball. So
sure. Yeah, solid guess. Number four, Birdman is the nickname of what colorful former NBA player?
And current Big Three player. He played for the Denver Nuggets and I believe briefly for the Miami Heat. And I'm stalling because I remember his name is, I want to say Chris Johnson, but I want to make sure I'm not screwing that up because I know it's a really simple name and it's Chris. And I want to say, and it's not Johnson. It's something that it's Chris. Damn it. I can tell you the teams he played for. I can tell you about his tattoos and his stupid hair. And I saw him play for the Big Three this summer. And it's not Chris Johnson. It's Chris Anderson. Chris Anderson.
I was hoping you would not get there.
Like, it was in my head. Like, as soon as she asked it, I'm like, okay, I know a lot about this person, except I can't remember his name at the moment.
So he said Rick Pitino and he's wrong. Oh,
so yeah, Chris Anderson is correct. Yeah. Oh, nice try. Anderson, as you could tell by Matt's groan of disappointment, was the correct answer.
Mm-hmm.
So scores for that round. Matt picked up four. Jeremy picked up nine by sweeping his category. Currently, we are at Matt has 11. Jeremy has 20 going into the only intermission because this is not a hockey game.
Halftime.
Password. Halftime. Brent?
All righty. We are at halftime, so we have a four-part halftime question. And the category is going to be name the school associated with these basketball players.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you four sets of three players, and you'll take some time to think about it, and then you will answer with the college that those three players have in common. Here are your halftime questions. Number one, Bob Sura Sam Cassell and Natasha Howard. Number two, Ann Donovan, Kent Bazemore, and Nancy Lieberman. Number three, Kelsey Plum, Nate Robinson, and Isaiah Thomas. Number four, Bob Knight, Katie Smith, Jim Jackson. And while these guys think about those, we're going to give you something to listen to at home in your car or wherever your podcast catching device is located.
If you have a question or category suggestion, or you'd like to appear on the Sports Trivia Faceoff, always feel free to send an email to brent@sportstriviafaceoff.com or join the Sports Trivia Faceoff group on Facebook.
We are back with the answers to the halftime question. We will start with Matt. Matt, Bob Sura, Sam Cassell, and Natasha Howard.
I collected a lot of basketball cards in the early to mid 90s, and I have a Bob Sura rookie card and know that he went to Florida State. So Florida State's what I'm saying.
And Jeremy?
I know Sam Cassell went to Florida State. I had no idea where Bob Sura went, nor who he was. But Sam Cassell is a Seminole.
Both of you are correct. It is Florida State. Jeremy, to you, Ann Donovan, Kent Bazemore, and Nancy Lieberman.
Nancy Lieberman was the leader of the Old Dominion team that I believe won a title back in the 80s. So Old Dominion, OD.
And Matt?
Oh, I knew it through Ken Bazemore, but Old Dominion.
5 points to each of you. It is Old Dominion. Matt, to you. Kelsey Plum, Nate Robinson, and Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, this Isaiah Thomas was, I believe, Mr. Irrelevant last picked. So he was from Washington.
And Jeremy?
Yes, 1A Isaiah Thomas is Indiana. 2A Isaiah Thomas is Washington.
Washington is correct. 5 points again to the both of you. And finishing up the halftime, Jeremy, Bob Knight, Katie Smith, and Jim Jackson.
So in the 90s, the Dallas Mavericks had like a top five pick 3 years in a row. And they used those to take Jason Kidd out of California, Jamal Mashburn out of Kentucky, and Jim Jackson out of Ohio State. So the Ohio State University.
Mm-hmm. And Matt.
Yeah, Triple J's or whatever they were called. Didn't last very long. But yeah, Jim Jackson definitely went to Ohio State. So OHIO.
Both of you picked up 20 full points on the halftime question. Very well done, gentlemen. That takes our score to Jeremy with 40, Matt with 31. Time for the third quarter, and Jeremy gets his pick, and I turn it over to Aaron.
Jeremy, your categories are My Name is Who, My Name is What, Tom, Dick, or Harry, or On Foreign Soil. What would you like?
I'm going to go with Tom, Dick, or Harry.
Okay. Probably predictably, these are questions about basketball figures named Tom, Dick, or Harry.
I figured as much.
Question number one. After relative success at the college level, Dick Vitale struggled mightily as the head coach of what NBA franchise before becoming ESPN's first college basketball in-game commentator?
All righty. A type of dandy, baby. He was the coach of the Detroit Pistons.
He was indeed. Apparently, his first reaction to the job of broadcasting was, quote, absolutely no way. I know nothing about TV. I want to get back where I belong and my spirit belongs. Number two, Heinsohn?
Yeah. Boston Celtics legend.
There are a lot of extraneous consonants in that name. Number two.
Yes.
Tom Heinsohn has played, coached, and announced games for what NBA franchise? Just go ahead and give you those
points. He is a Boston Celtics legend.
Hey, that is correct.
Yeah.
Three.
Good pull, man. Yeah. Good pull.
Yeah. I was lost, so I didn't know that one, obviously. So.
Three.
I'm surprised you didn't challenge you on that one, Matt.
Three. In his first full-time head coaching job, a young Rick Pitino led the Terriers of this New England school to their first NCAA tournament in 24 years.
Okay, so now that I've remembered his name, I don't know that I know this. I know Providence, I know Kentucky, I know Louisville, I know he coached the Celtics. So if I don't challenge and I get it wrong, he can tip it back in or rebound it, and he only gets 2 points, not three, right?
He gets one for a rebound.
Oh, he gets one for a rebound. But yes. If I challenge him, he gets three. So yes, I'm not going to challenge him. I'm just going to take a guess because I think he's going to know this, and I think I'll just give him the 1 point instead of the three. All right, he's an East Coast guy, so let's go with the East Coast. Albany is like the Greyhounds, the 16 seed that won Maryland, Baltimore County. They were a dog. Were they the Terriers? I mean, that would be not Iona or Siena. Wolford. I think they're the Terriers, and I don't know where they're located. I thought they were like North Carolina-ish. All right, I'm going to go with Wolford.
All right. They may be the Terriers, but that is not what we are looking for. Matt, you know?
It's my favorite dog breed. I believe it's a Boston Terrier.
Ah, that makes a lot of sense. Should have put that together.
Maybe. Boston University. Good job.
Damn it.
Number four. Yeah. Good strategy there, though, on not giving him the maximum number of possible points. Four, George Raveling, the college coach of this two-time NBA slam dunk champion, famously said, quote, "I always felt the worst thing to happen to blank was the baby Jordan tag."
I know this. Hey, Harold Miner, baby Jordan.
Yeah.
Correct. All right, Matt, back over to you. Your category choices are My Name is Who, My Name is What, or On Foreign Soil.
My Name is Who, My Name is What.
Okay, this is, I will give you three nicknames, and you will give me the city or metro area that is or was once home to these NBA, WNBA, NCAA, and or ABA nicknames.
WNBA, yay!
Hey. Number one, Cougars, 49ers, Sting.
Oh,
God.
Yeah. The last one was the Sting.
Yes.
Sting, Cougars. I think that when Charlotte had the Hornets, they also had the Sting, which would be their WNBA team. So I think it's Charlotte.
Charlotte is correct.
Well done.
I'm like, it is so, like, I don't know whether I should be proud or what. Like, as soon as I heard that, I'm like, oh, the Charlotte Sting, we're in the WNBA.
Yeah. You are a WNBA historian, and you should be proud of that.
Yeah. It is the Carolina Cougars of the ABA, the UNC Charlotte 49ers, and the Charlotte Sting of the WNBA.
Yes.
Number two, Nets, Highlanders, Pirates.
Highlanders and Pirates?
Nets, Highlanders, Pirates.
Gotcha. I know I've heard Highlanders before. I think that's an ABA team. But I could be wrong. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh is incorrect. Jeremy?
And what were my team names again? I have the Highlanders, the Nets, and who?
Pirates.
And the Pirates. The Nets were New York, New Jersey. In the ABA, it can't be that easy, though, can it? I'm just going to go with New York.
New York is incorrect, but it is the New Jersey Nets. He was looking for Newark.
Oh, man.
I don't like that question.
Well, I am sorry.
Throw it out.
Wait till you hear. So the New Jersey Nets in the ABA and NBA, the NJIT Highlanders in the NCAA, and you referenced them earlier, Jeremy, the Seton Hall Pirates in NCAA.
I didn't know they played in Newark.
Yeah, apparently they do.
Yeah. Huh.
Number three. Yeah.
I don't know.
Three. Jaguars, Fever, Bulldogs.
The Fever, I believe, is the Indiana WNBA team. So I'm going to say Indianapolis.
That is correct. Jaguars are IUPUI, and the Bulldogs are Butler.
Excuse me, it's not IUPUI. It's Ooey Pooey.
Ooey Pooey, yeah. The correct pronunciation.
My mistake.
Yes, that's okay.
Four. Claws, bullets, retrievers.
I mean, the Bullets was Washington before they became the Wizards. And that's the correct pronunciation,
absolutely,
too. So I think I'm just going to go with, I guess, Washington, D.C.
Yeah. You just got New York Newark'd like I did there.
Yeah, Jeremy, do you know?
It's Baltimore.
Yep.
That makes sense.
They were the Chicago Packers, then they were the Baltimore Bullets, then the Washington Bullets, then the Washington Wizards.
Weirdly, Baltimore Bullets didn't pull well in terms of appropriate team names for that city.
Yeah.
You've got the Claws of the ABA, the Bullets, the NBA, and the UMBC Retrievers, which, Jeremy, you were fishing for that in the carriers.
Okay, question. Yeah, that's right. I knew it was a dog.
They are just the Retrievers. They're just the Retrievers. They're not the Golden Retrievers, which dinged us in trivia. And the only reason I know that is because they beat UVA, which was awesome. I had so much fun that week.
That was an unbelievable game. I mean, that was fantastic.
Yeah, and we got a lot of UVA people here.
Can it be said that he couldn't retrieve that Retriever's answer?
Ooh, it could be said, but why would you want to say something like that?
Because I'm me.
Luckily, no one said that.
Brent's so itchy because he didn't write any of these categories, so he hasn't done his allocation of dad puns for the week.
Well, I'm going to be on the road with family next weekend, so they'll all come out then and they'll all hate me.
After the third quarter, score is 47-36. Jeremy has a little bit of a lead on Matt going into the fourth. Brent, back to you.
We are back to Matt with the choice of We Are the Champions, We Must Protect This House, or Hall Pass.
Oh, wow. I'm not good at Hall of Fame stuff, so I'm going to go with Champions.
We Are the Champions. These are notable championship-winning moments.
All right.
Number one, Michael Jordan hit the game-winning shot after clearly pushing off over Byron Russell to win the 1998 NBA Finals over what team?
First of all, before you answer, I think both Matt and I would like to object to the wording of that question, which is clearly incorrect. Now, Matt, go ahead and answer.
Right. First of all, how dare you? Second of all, yes.
First of all, it's how dare Phil.
Right, that's true.
Yep. Okay.
Don't you?
Yeah, you can't ask this question to Chicago area 80s babies and not know this one. So Utah Jazz.
Utah Jazz is correct for 2 points. Number two. Charlotte Smith hit a dagger jumper at the buzzer in 1994 to give what school, better known for its men's basketball team, its only NCAA women's basketball championship?
Not sure on this one. Outside of Tennessee and UConn, I didn't think anybody else really won too much in that time. You said it was much like better known for their men's teams.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes me think of either UCLA, Duke, or Carolina, somewhere in that area. I'm gonna go with UCLA.
UCLA is incorrect, Jeremy.
I don't think Duke has ever actually won the title, and that's the one that jumps to mind. I'm going to go with North Carolina because I don't think Duke won. I'm going to go with UNC.
UNC is correct.
Ooh.
For a one-point rebound.
Guess the wrong one.
Yeah.
You said it, too.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, yeah, I was pretty sure it was somewhere in that area, but I was really leaning towards Duke. But I couldn't remember Duke ever winning a title. And I was like, all right.
Number three. Whose layup did LeBron James block late in Game 7 of the 2016 NBA Finals to preserve a three-point lead and a championship?
I'm almost 100% sure that this was on Stephen Curry.
That is incorrect, Jeremy.
Ooh, well, if it wasn't Stephen Curry, let's go with Draymond Green?
No, it's Iguodala. I screwed that up.
Ah! All right.
Yeah, and I want to thank you for saying that because now I know how to pronounce his name. The correct answer is Andre Iguodala. Yeah.
Springfield, Illinois' own Andre Iguodala.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Number four, the three-pointer. You don't have to be a genius to know this player made the game-winning shot and steal on the ensuing possession to lift Indiana to the 1987 NCAA Men's Basketball Championship, which is the most recent in school history.
Now I get it.
Yeah.
He's a genius. It's Keith Smart.
Keith Smart is correct for 2 points.
Yeah.
The clue.
My first thought was, why does Steve Alford tie in with the word genius?
Yeah.
No, it's not Steve Alford. It's the guy named Smart.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, if you haven't seen the final days of Night for 30 for 30, I highly recommend it.
It's good. Yeah.
All of the 30 for 30s, I think, are brilliant. But yeah, that one's pretty good. Jeremy, we are to you. You have to choose between We Must Protect This House or Hall Pass.
Hall Pass.
Hall Pass. These are members of the Naismith Hall of Fame.
I've been there.
Number one, the Hall of Fame is located in what Massachusetts city? This is where James Naismith first designed the game while teaching at the YMCA training school in the 1890s.
That'd be in Springfield.
Springfield is correct. I should give those points to Jeremy and not Matt.
If you want to. I'm not against him.
Number two. This man made the Hall of Fame despite a rather unimpressive semi-pro career that began in 1919 when he was a teenager. However, as he searched for ways to make money off the court, he became the first all-star in the basketball shoe industry, and the sneaker craze that continues today can be traced to his marketing innovations. Who is this basketball pioneer?
Chuck. Chucks. What?
Is it Anderson?
No, it's not Anderson. I don't know. It's Chuck. This is going to bother me so much, and I'm not pulling this. Sorry. The guy who makes Chucks. Chuck. I guess Chuck. Chuck Smith.
Chuck Smith is incorrect. Matt?
Chuck Smith was some kind of player for a while, I believe. Chucky Smith, maybe. I don't know. The answer is Chuck Taylor, though.
Chuck Taylor is correct for a one-point rebound.
Oh, that bothers me.
Number three, a speech at the 2009 induction ceremony by a basketball legend the origin of what internet meme?
So is it just the crying Jordan?
Crying Jordan is correct for 2 points.
It is.
No, the crying Jordan meme I thought was from when he was watching them lose the NCAA title.
No, it was It was definitely from his Hall of Fame speech when he was telling everybody how much better he was than them and how bad he felt for his kids to have to follow in his footsteps.
I don't remember him crying during that. Yeah, I thought he was smiling during that.
There's tears.
I just Googled it. I assure you the question is correct as written.
I really thought the crying meme was from when he watched NCAA lose the or North Carolina lose the title a few years ago.
There was a picture of him looking at his phone, and they photoshopped the crying Jordan meme over it, and it got redistributed again.
All right, yeah.
Thank you, Aaron.
Yep, I'm here for
number four, the three-pointer. There are many contributors to the games outside players and coaches who have been enshrined. Earl Strom, Red Mihalik, and Hank Nichols are three members of the Hall of Fame for their contributions as what in the world of basketball?
This is the three-point question, right?
That is correct.
All right. I'm just going to take a guess and say referees.
Oh, my God.
That's a good guess. That's correct for the three-pointer.
I don't know what else they would be, right?
Yeah, announcers maybe. That's another thing.
Well, yeah, but if they were announcers, I'd probably have heard of them. Referees, I wouldn't know.
We are to overtime, and for overtime, I'm going to hand it back to Aaron.
All right. Even though this isn't the shootout, the rules are very similar to if this was the shootout. So, Brent, why don't you tell us how it works?
In the shootout, both players take a shot at being the closest to the correct answer of three questions. If either player is closer on more questions than the other, they get 20 points. If a player is closer on all three questions, they get 50 points. If a player is within 10% of the correct answer on all three questions, they are awarded an extra 100-point hat trick bonus.
Thank you. All right, gentlemen, your questions are: total points by Glenn Rice in the 1989 NCAA tournament, which is a record. 2, total career blocked shots by Robert Parrish. And 3, total number of wins by Tara Vanderveer as head coach at Stanford. While these gentlemen are doing math, here's something for you guys.
Planning your own trivia event? Visit the Trivia Night Guy at TriviaNightGuy.com to purchase trivia questions in all categories for an event that will give your audience a challenging and fun night of trivia.
Number 1, the total number of points by Glenn Rice in the 1989 NCAA tournament, which is a record. Matt, what did you put?
I figured he averaged somewhere around in the upper 30s to 40 a game and just came up with 150.
Okay. And Jeremy?
All right. Well, they won the tournament, which means they played 6 games. So I did 30 points times 6 games for 180.
All right. And the answer was 184.
Wow.
So Matt was off by 34, Jeremy off by 4. Number 2, total career blocked shots by Robert Parrish. Let's start with Jeremy on this one.
Well, there's 80 games in a season. Robert Parrish had a 20-year career. That's around 1,600 games. I figured he probably averaged between a block or two a game, so I figured a block and a half. So 1,600 times 1.5, I came up with 2,400.
Okay, and Matt?
All right. I don't know what I was thinking here. My math was all messed up, so I said 560, which is way, way short.
I get it. Math is scary. The answer was 2,361. Yep. So Jeremy was off by 39. Matt was off by 1,801.
But wait, there's more.
And number 3, total number of wins by Tara Vanderveer as head coach at Stanford. Matt.
All right. I had no idea here. I didn't know how many seasons she coached. I figured it was only around 10 to 15 because I don't know. So I just said 430.
Okay. And Jeremy.
I didn't have a lot of knowledge on how long she was the coach there, but I know that she's probably one of the winningest coaches, which means she's under 1,000, but probably over 800. So I just split the difference and went 900.
All right. And your answer is 884.
Hmm.
So Matt was off by 454. Jeremy was off by 16.
Yikes.
Yep. So after the shootout, Jeremy picked up a shootout sweep with 3 wins and I believe he was also within 10% on all three of those, picking up the bonus. Is that right?
Wow.
Is that what these colors are?
That's correct.
Right. Cool.
That's correct.
So Jeremy picks up 150 points.
I wonder who won.
Our final score. It was a tight game, despite what this number is about to be. Matt had 41. Jeremy had 205.
If there were only more WNBA questions that you could ask.
I do think we didn't recalibrate the way the shooter is scored to account for the fact that you weren't scoring 10 points per question.
Mm-hmm. But, that's on me.
It's cool. It didn't matter at the end.
Yeah. Well, I feel like I should have switched to a zone defense in the second half, and I just, you know, I didn't make the adjustments. That's what happened.
I definitely fire your coach at this point.
That's okay. Just like the Cavaliers did today.
Oh, did
yes, they did.
Yeah. Oh, and Tyrone, he's out of here.
The Boston Terriers. I should have gotten that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you both for your time on this Sunday afternoon. And is there anything, Jeremy, that you would like to say in closing?
I would like to say Jordan did not push off.
I had a sneaking suspicion we were going to hear about that again.
Yeah.
And Matt, although I don't think you'll disagree.
I will not disagree. And I'll also say, listen to Triviality Podcast, the show where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge. We're on iTunes and all the other places that you listen to things.
Absolutely. And I will second that. Definitely go listen to Triviality. And Aaron, is there anything you'd like to say in closing?
No, not today. I think I plugged the arts last week, but I'll do it again. Go see a play, support the arts. And thanks for playing, guys. This was fun. And thanks, Phil, for writing these questions.
Yeah, thanks, Phil.
Yes, a huge thank you to Phil Sanford, who wrote an absolutely bang-up set of basketball questions for us that we had a lot of fun with. For Phil and for Matt, Jeremy, and Aaron, this is Brent Bollmeyer. You have been listening to the Sports Trivia Tip-Off, and we will see you next time you download. This has been the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Thanks for listening. The Sports Trivia Face-Off is recorded, edited, and produced by Brent Bollmeyer. And we have one halftime instead of two intermissions. And let's, I forgot Aaron. Damn it.
Hey, really?
Don't forget about Dre.
I just thought you were on a roll and you were going to mention me at some point.
I was on a roll, but I forgot you.
Yeah. Can't run a pick and roll without the pick.
That's right.
Basketball.
Ooh. You know, now I'm intimidated.